once again, everyone, back to the Chad Holmes Show, hour number two on this Wednesday afternoon. Sunny skies here in central Wisconsin. Still a bit chilly out there, but that's going to change in the next few days. And to find out all about what we can expect for the later portion of the work week and also into the weekend, we're joined from Weatherology by meteorologist Ray Miller. Ray, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. As you mentioned, still on the cool side this afternoon, but that warm-up is on the way. We'll see a blend of clouds and sun through the rest of the afternoon, high around 44 degrees with breezy northwest winds. Tonight looks cloudy with the low temperature of 30. Thursday, sunny, 51 for the high temperature. Friday, sunny with a high temperature of 62. Saturday, sunshine, 65 degrees. A very slight chance of an isolated shower late Sunday afternoon. I think the vast majority of the area stays dry. High temperature of 69. Monday, chance of showers with a high temperature of 62 degrees. I'm meteorologist Ray Miller in the Weatherology Weather Center.
And frankly, Ray, the cooler temperatures to start off the work week, we will deal with that because it does look like if you're looking for maybe another opportunity to get outdoors for some of those summer and fall activities, this could be the weekend to do it before we truly get to some cooler weather and the winter sooner than we would probably like.
Yeah, you know, the last couple of weeks we talked about the bad timing where all the nice weather was during the work week and then the weekends were kind of lousy. Now it's flipped around. We'll have the warmest temperatures and probably the most sunshine as well for Saturday and Sunday.
And I hope that when that occurs that you and your colleagues at Weatherology take all the credit because you always take the blame when the weekends
we'll
aren't good.
Every last bit of credit I can get, for sure.
Okay, Ray, well, thank you very much, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
I'll see you then.
And right now, fair skies in Wausau, temperature of 45 degrees. Again, it's still a little bit breezy out there. Westerly winds at 15 miles per hour. So the wind chill factor, yep, we're still talking wind chills, 38 degrees. The dew point is 23, so a relative humidity of 42%. The barometer at 29.87 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 3:09. I am Chad Holmes again. Welcome back. Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Yesterday, again, we apologize. We had some issues at our transmitter for 98.9 FM. We were on 1230 AM, but unfortunately, for much of the afternoon, we were off the air on 98.9. And yesterday had a special guest in the first hour, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And because I know a few of you were not able to hear that interview yesterday, coming up in just a few minutes, we'll replay my interview with the Lieutenant Governor again, Mandela Barnes. He was in central Wisconsin yesterday. He is also the candidate, the Democratic nominee for the United States Senate, going up against the two-term incumbent, Ron Johnson, with the election on November the 8th. So we had a chance to talk about some of the issues with Mandela Barnes yesterday. We will play back that interview in just a few minutes at 3:15. And then after that, we'll also play back an interview I had yesterday with Jesse Apoyan from the Cap Times, captimes.com, Capital Times newspaper out of Madison. And she wrote a very interesting piece on Senator Ron Johnson late last week. Talked to her about that, some of the information she found about the incumbent U.S. senator. Also in that article, they talked about some of the issues that the left has against Ron Johnson. A lot of information was put out there. And I think, and as you'll hear me when I talk to Jesse Apoyan about it, there were times I was gritting my teeth because you hear Ron Johnson say these things and what Jesse Apoyan did very effectively, I thought. She is not an opinion writer. She is a straight news reporter. She put all the information out there. And when Ron Johnson gets upset at the media, the thing that he gets upset about in terms of the media is they quote what he says. When he says take mouthwash wash to cure COVID-19, he gets upset when they report it. When he says that there was no armed insurrection on January the 6th, 2021, he gets upset about it because people quote him on it. Again, I don't get it in terms of Ron Johnson always being quoted, and he gets upset about it. No, Ron, you say it. You believe it. So, again, we're going to talk about these issues and a whole bunch more with Jesse Apoyan. I hear that interview again coming up at just after 3:30 today here on the Bow Falls Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Mentioned in the first hour, again, a story that came out yesterday late and reported today by the Wausau Daily Herald that Foot Locker is going to be closing their Wausau distribution center, and 210 employees are going to lose their jobs. I hate seeing stories like this time of year, because these workers are going to be laid off in early 2023. The first layoffs will include 162 employees on January the 31st. The second round of layoffs will include 48 employees and be completed before the end of April. And even though they're going to be working until the end of January, many of these workers, but going into Christmas, going into the holiday seasons, it's going to be very difficult. And again, you just feel for these folks losing their jobs. And going to have Mayor Katie Rosenberg on next Friday on the program. We'll talk about this and other issues with the Wausau mayor again. These are the issues that a mayor does not want to have to deal with. But again, tough news for those 210 employees for Foot Locker. We're going to take a break and then come back and hear my interview with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. At home show here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Very happy to welcome to the program Wisconsin's current Lieutenant Governor, Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate, Mandela Barnes. And first of all, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, thank you for spending a few minutes talking to us and the folks here in Central Wisconsin.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the time. Really glad to be here.
Actually, just over a year ago at the Wausau Labor Day Parade, about 13 months ago, I had a chance to talk to you briefly as you were in Wausau for that parade, and that was obviously early in your campaign. I wanted to ask you, between then and now, what's the biggest thing you've learned during the course of this campaign?
Well, I've really learned how to touch Ron Johnson is, how dangerous his positions are. Most importantly, I learned about how much more we all have in common in the state, things I've already known, as I've got to travel the state as Lieutenant Governor. But during this campaign, it has just been a constant reminder that we all have so much more in common than we'll ever have with self-serving, out of touch politicians like him.
When you look at the issues, and I think one of the probably the biggest hurdles that you've had to go over is the fact that so many of the commercials that have been thrown at you, millions and millions of dollars, don't focus on a lot of the issues, I think, that are, you know, at the front and center of a lot of Wisconsinites. A couple of issues that I think were talked about during the two debates you've had with the senator the last couple of weeks: Social Security and abortion. The senator says he wants to save Social Security, but at the same time put it on the chopping block. I wanted to get your viewpoints on Social Security, and also along those lines as well, what your plans would be to secure it even further into the future.
Well, yeah, that's just Ron Johnson's line to the people, because his position is so deeply unpopular and so deeply harmful, to be honest with you. I support not just strengthening Social Security, or not just making Social Security solvent, but strengthening Social Security. That means making sure the wealthy pay into the vital program. The way wealthy need to pay their fair share. You know, this is how people continue to get left behind. People work hard their entire lives. Like, I think about, you know, my grandparents, other seniors, who work their entire lives, even people with disabilities who rely on Social Security. And the fact that Ron Johnson wants to make life harder for them just doesn't sit well with me, especially given the fact that he doubled his wealth in the United States Senate. The person who doubled his wealth shouldn't be in the Senate to make everybody else's life harder.
When you, as well, I wanted to ask you, would you be in favor of lifting the cap in terms of Social Security taxes? As you said, having the wealthy pay more of their fair share at this point, anybody that is in the lower ends of the economic strata end up paying all of their earnings into Social Security while the wealthy don't. Would you be in favor of raising that limit?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I mean by making sure that the wealthy pay into this vital program.
Talking about abortion, obviously, a lot of people got very upset during the course of the summer with the Supreme Court ruling. What is you? Let's put it straight out there. Your viewpoint on the issue of abortion.
Well, my viewpoint is actually happens to be the viewpoint of 70% of people in this state who think Roe versus Wade should be the law of the land. It worked for 50 years. People like Ron Johnson celebrated the overturning of Roe versus Wade. He celebrated the Dobbs decision. He said it was correctly decided. He called it a victory. He said that women that don't like the laws of their state, like our 1849 criminal abortion ban, can just move. And, I mean, how out of touch is that position to take? How dangerous? How inconsiderate? And we're fighting to make sure that women get to make their most difficult decision with their doctors. And that's how it should be. Ron Johnson doesn't see it that way. He sees it as his responsibility to make that choice for women. And this November, in just 3 short weeks from today, women get to make the decision to send him packing.
Again, we're talking to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, the Democratic nominee for the United States Senate, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Another issue that I just think that sometimes, I mean, we hear about a lot, but I think we should hear about it even more, is the issue of democracy. And I think just yesterday a story came out that Ron Johnson is paying a lawyer that was involved in the scheme to overturn the election in 2020, that he's already lining up a lawyer just in case he needs to use a, quote, a recount, end quote. Democracy is on the ballot, isn't it?
Democracy is absolutely on the ballot, and the reality is Ron Johnson tried to send a slate of fraudulent electors to the vice president in an attempt to overturn the 2020 election. The whole time when he cast seeds of doubt into the general public about the 2020 election, he made things dangerous. That's what incited the January 6th insurrection. The January 6th insurrection that he supported that left 140 officers injured. These were folks who threatened to hang the vice president. And Ron Johnson said that he didn't see it as an insurrection. I'm not sure if he knows what an insurrection looks like, but given his thoughts on January 6th, it shows that he can't be trusted with public safety at large.
During the course of the campaign, it's been hard-hitting and so much money going into it in terms of negative ads. One thing I've noticed about you is that you're still putting out some very positive ads. Here in central Wisconsin, keeping an eye on the commercials, we see, again, a lot of the third-party ads coming after you very hard. But at the same time, you're still putting out vision ads. How do you go about trying to keep an even keel when you're hit hard and probably in a lot of unfair ways? Your mindset during the campaign in terms of trying to stay positive in terms of what you want to, you know, talk about to the voters here in Wisconsin?
Well, the reality is people want to know how you plan to help them out, and that's what it should be about. And the difference between Senator Johnson and myself is that I have something to talk about, and he doesn't, because his agenda isn't the agenda of a majority of people in Wisconsin. His agenda supports himself. It supports his wealthy donors and most wealthy people in this country. Now, given the fact that Ron Johnson's favorability is in the tank, we have a chance to make sure that people know exactly who I am, while Republicans and Ron Johnson and his allies are trying to define me on their terms.
Something else I wanted to ask you about is the fact that you are a young man in terms of political life. In this era, we have so many, if you look at the United States Senate, it's much older than I would say the normal American would be. A lot of older Americans are serving in the United States Senate. What kind of perspective do you think you could bring to the Senate as someone that is a younger person that may have different life experiences and also different viewpoints on the future? Do you feel like you would be able to add something to the U.S. Senate based on your generation?
Well, I'd say the Senate is broken in general. It doesn't truly reflect the American experience. It is a millionaire's club that needs to be broken up. The majority of people in this country are not millionaires, so why should we be represented by a majority of millionaires? Also, the life experience in the United States Senate is not the life experience of a majority of American people. They don't live as we live, and that's why we don't see things getting done. That's why we have so much stagnation. That's why we haven't seen wage growth that keeps up with inflation. That's why we haven't seen every single person in this country be granted health care in one form or another. Now, it's the generational perspective that's also missing, but so much else is missing as well. And that's a gap that we're working to close, make sure that working people actually have a voice in the United States Senate.
Something that was talked about quite a bit in the two debates from Senator Johnson, he talks about spending and debt and deficits. If you look at since 1980 or so, when the trickle-down revolution began, you've seen, I think, when Democrats are in power, debt and deficit goes down. It seems as though when Republicans are in power, it explodes. What's your viewpoint on some of those issues that may be a little bit harder to explain to the people, that when they use these buzzwords like debt and out-of-control spending, when the facts just aren't there? I guess I just was wondering, because during the course of a debate, you don't have a lot of time. You get 30 seconds or 60 seconds. But it feels like some of the facts that need to be explained, it can be kind of difficult, can it?
Well, the problem is, like, Ron Johnson will talk about deficit all he wants to, but the reality is he voted to blow a $2 trillion hole in the deficit with the 2017 tax bill, the tax bill that delivered $215 million in tax deductions to his biggest donors. In fact, he was a no vote at first until he was able to orchestrate those deductions for two of his biggest donors in a single year. At the same time, he voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act. That's hinted at doing it again if they get power. So look, they know exactly what they're doing, and it's misleading the people. And that's why we need candidates. We're going to stand up for the truth. We're going to speak out and lead with conviction and actually keep working people in mind instead of the most wealthy individuals that are making life harder for everybody else.
And I guess finally, you said it a little bit earlier, 3 weeks from Election Day. It's been a long campaign, a lot of words, a lot of commercials, a lot of money being spent. As you head down the stretch here in the final 3 weeks, when you talk to folks throughout the state of Wisconsin, as much one-on-one as you possibly can, what is your final message going to be? What are the areas that you really want to hit coming down the stretch that you think that could be the difference in what looks to be a very close election?
Well, we deserve more than a self-serving election and climate-denying U.S. senator representing the state of Wisconsin. Those are not our values. We need working-class representation, because this is a working-class state, whether you're a small family farmer or whether you're a small business owner or you're a person who gets up, goes to work every day, an educator, factory worker. Regardless, you deserve a voice in the U.S. Senate. And unfortunately, Ron Johnson is not giving that to us. He's not providing that kind of leadership that we desperately need to help advance our cause and to help make our lives better in these most difficult times. Ron Johnson has turned his back on the people. And throughout my time as lieutenant governor, we picked up the slack doing the work that Ron Johnson refuses to do. And we're going to continue to do that. But the only way we can be the most effective is if Ron Johnson is no longer in the U.S. Senate. Everybody deserves a fair shot at the American dream, and it will not happen with Ron Johnson as the U.S. Senator. But we're leading with our values, we're leading with our vision, talking about making sure people have health care, making sure people have good paying jobs, and women can make their own health care decisions without government intrusion.
Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Democratic nominee for the United States Senate. Again, really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us talking about some of the issues. Best of luck as you continue on the campaign trail and your sprint towards November 8th. Again, thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much.
That is, again, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back again. We have coming up in the next hour at 3:15. We'll be talking more about this U.S. Senate race with the Capital Times Capital Bureau Chief, Jessie Apoyan. She had an article on Ron Johnson just last week, talking a little bit about Johnson and this race. We'll talk to her about that coming up again at 3:15. Again, it is the Tuesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. I am Chad Holmes. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable. Kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police. There's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, a dead end world. The East End boys and West End girls. In a West End town, a dead end world. The East End boys and West End.
33 on this Wednesday afternoon. Sunny skies and 45 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes, and this is the Chad Holmes Show. Again, yesterday we had some issues where 98.9 was off the air during portions of our program. So bringing you back a couple of special interviews we had yesterday. Just heard from Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes on his campaign against Ron Johnson. And speaking of Ron Johnson, we also brought on from the Cap Times, Jesse Apoyan, who wrote a very interesting piece on Ron Johnson at CapTimes.com last week. And wanted to talk to her about what she found out while spending some time with the senior senator from Wisconsin. And started off by saying thank you very much, Jesse Apoyan, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
You got an article that's got some traction last week. Again, this time of year, we're 3 weeks away from Election Day, and you had a chance to go a little deeper with Ron Johnson, spend some time, I think, with Ron Johnson, and wrote a very interesting article at CapTimes.com. The political paradox of Ron Johnson. I guess, first of all, how much time did you spend with the senator to get this story done?
I spent, you know, the better part of a day with him kind of on the road on the campaign trail. And then, you know, just a lot of time talking with people who, you know, who know him pretty well and, you know, have known him for a long time or, you know, worked with him politically, worked with him in other capacities.
I got to say, reading the article, there were moments where I nod my head. There's moments when I started yelling at it because of some of the things that Ron Johnson has said over the years that, again, that sometimes gets very under the skin of a lot of folks, including myself. Was there anything in particular that you found during this time talking to the senator, talking to his supporters, talking to normal voters that you came across at the fair that Ron Johnson was hanging out with you that day? Was there anything that, because you've been around Ron Johnson quite a while, you've been around the political beat, did anything surprise you? Did you learn anything new?
I wouldn't say so much that anything surprised me as it really just kind of reaffirmed what, you know, I already sort of thought to be true or already expected in terms of, you know, people who support him. They, you know, they tend to say it's because he speaks what's on his mind, you know, it doesn't hold back. It once doesn't worry, obviously, about who he might offend or, in your case, have screaming at the screen, you know, when you're reading about it. But, you know, something that some of the strategists that I talked to said is, you know, you don't necessarily have to love everything about the person that you're voting for. You know, it's true that some voters just really do value, you know, what they see as that directness and that sort of unfiltered approach. But, you know, other than that, you know, a lot of the things that came up were the things that he's talking about. You know, voters were asking him about, you know, the media, which I'm obviously, you know, part of that, but, you know, not viewed very popularly, not very positively. Asking about, you know, things happening in Congress, asking about, you know, whether he's being treated fairly, whether he's being speared, things like that. So, you know, a lot of the things that he's saying are clearly resonating with voters who are inclined to support him and you know, they're on their minds.
One of the aspects I really liked about the article is how much you did quote him, that these are exactly what he was saying during your time together. And one of the quotes early in the article that really jumped out to me was when you asked him, what goes into fixing the division? Because he says that he's exhausted by it, which I find hard to believe because he brings it on so much of himself. But at the same time, you asked him, what goes into fixing the division? And you said, Johnson deadpans, can we get rid of the left? And then just to underline it, he says, no, I'm dead serious. I found that to be disturbing in a sense because, and I said this early in the program when I was talking about having you come on, that over the course of my lifetime, and I'm more than 50 years old at this point, sometimes the Democrats would win, sometimes the Republicans would win. I mean, we're a two-party system, and it feels like he's serious about wanting it to be a one-party state, that everything that's bad is because of the left. And when he said that, what was the look in his eye? What did you take that statement in itself to mean?
You know, he was serious. It was something that, you know, he said it. He waited a beat. You know, could have been a joke, but as you quoted, he said, "No, I'm serious." And you know, I think that's kind of that gets at the paradox of it all, right? You know, to say you know you hate the division, but you know, to feel so deeply divided against another party. You know, and I guess your question about one party control is a good one that I, you know, wish maybe I could have asked a little bit more, because I don't know that that's exactly what he's saying. I think it's not necessarily the Democratic Party as it is, like this wing that he, you know, refers to as the left, which he's, what he's talking about, you know, all the boogeymen that you see on TV, right? You know, the squads, like the much farther left or the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
Again, we're talking to Jesse Apoyan from the Cap Times, their Capitol Bureau Chief, here on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Another aspect of Johnson that I find interesting, and you've been around him for a while as well. Has he changed at all from the man that first got elected in 2010? Because there's a sense, and again, maybe I'm completely off, that the Trump years in some way radicalized him. You hear about family members being talked about, they got radicalized during this era. It feels like he has gone a little bit even further than he used to. Have you noticed any change in Johnson since Trump became president?
I mean, that is sort of the eternal debate, I think, about Ron Johnson. Some people who have known him for a long time, the folks who have, you know, Republicans who have bristled against Donald Trump, say absolutely he changed. They say, you know, he wasn't always like this, and, you know, it's Trump that changed things. But people who, you know, continue to work with him, people who continue to know him well and support him, say, oh, this is exactly who he's always been, just the issues are different, the climate's different. So, you know, you can't really know, I guess, what's driving a person beyond what, you know, what they tell you and what the people close to them tell you. But it's up for constant debate, certainly among Republicans who are feeling torn within the party and, you know, torn about where the direction that it's going.
One of the things that I thought you did exceptionally well as all the quotes from Ron Johnson himself, is you put a lot of the controversial issues out there. You didn't comment on them. And you were a reporter in this story. And I wanted to ask you about, because you used to be more of an opinion person. You were the opinion. Were you the opinion editor for the paper?
That was for a short stint in between reporting, sandwich of reporting.
But in terms of putting together a story like this, to put out the facts and to not let, you know, you throw out there, you know, the mouthwash and stuff like that. And
sure.
You kind of put it all out there. How difficult is it at times not to go outside the lane in terms of opinion versus straight reporting?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been much more comfortable in the reporting lane. That's, you know, why I didn't stick with the opinion job, which was, you know, a fun thing to try. But I've always been much more comfortable kind of sitting on the sidelines, observing, you know, letting people know what's going on, what people said, letting people kind of share their perspective and let readers interpret it as they will. I don't know that I have, you know, much of an opinion that anyone really cares or needs, you know, needs to know about. I've really actually never had a problem with it. I had much more of a problem trying to come up with opinions to have to share with people.
Along the same line, later in the story, one of the, I think, controversial aspects of this campaign is the racial element, that there are people on the Democratic side that have come back, I think in the last month especially, just saying that this is a racist campaign that the Republicans are putting out there. And you brought that up to Johnson. He says they're playing the race card. How, I guess, in terms as a reporter, you put that out there, but at the same time, are you allowed to say, hey, I mean, there are facts here that need to be pursued as well? Because I think that is one of the aspects of this campaign that has been very disturbing to a lot of people. And Johnson seems to just brush it off, both in the story, and I think he also brushed it off in the debates as well. How difficult is trying to go into the weeds of that issue of this campaign?
Yeah, it's always difficult. You know, it's something that I think reporters have become a little bit more comfortable calling that out when they see it, when it can be clearly called out. It's hard, you know, to put motives on someone else. But when, you know, when something is, you know, if something is clearly racist, or when something is, you know, being perceived as racist by the person it's targeting, then, you know, then maybe intent doesn't matter so much. It's difficult to navigate like any thing else where, you know, people have differing opinions, but it is something where sometimes, you know, I think we do have the responsibility to call it out where we can. But it's difficult. I'm not going to lie. It's difficult.
You mentioned earlier that one of the key aspects that Johnson does is he calls out the left. He calls out the media. He basically says they're treating me unfairly. They hate me. They want me out. Does he give specifics? Did you have a chance to talk to him? Because he talks about that all the time, and he complained that the first debate was unfair. And again, I mean, maybe he sees things that others don't, but does he get into specifics on where he specifically says the media is out to get me and hates me? Because he says a lot of these things. And again, like I said with you, you had a lot. You quoted him. You let his voice be a big part of this story. Did he get into it at all where he finds the media as being unfair and basically, in his words, almost unpatriotic at times?
You know, it's all the issues that I think, you know, we talked about in the story, the ones that you've mentioned so far, you know, his comments on COVID and treatments for it, his comments on January 6th, anything that attracts a lot of attention and, you know, as such, attracts a lot of negative attention. You know, those are all the things he kind of referenced when he was talking about that, or feeling like, you know, things that he says are being misinterpreted or twisted, or, you know, which every, you know, every politician feels that way, I think, but he maybe feels it a little bit more than your average.
And you actually added a couple of, I thought, very nice aspects to Johnson's character in terms of the opioid connection he had, and also with the military person who ended up working for him. How did you come across those stories, and how did you feel like handling those stories as well to show, I think, a different side of Johnson?
Yeah, you know, those are you know, people that I was aware of. You know, the legislation that he worked on, that opioid legislation, was something that, you know, I've followed from here. It's something that actually was passed at the state level here, so I was a little more familiar with it. And and I've written about that issue and how, you know, how it factors into politicians and their campaigns frequently, really, over the last 10 years or so. So that, you know, that one just made sense to me. And, you know, Jason Church's story is, you know, and he's someone who wasn't really involved in politics until he met, you know, Ron Johnson. And he's, you know, since run for office, remains, you know, really involved. So it just seems like, you know, interesting aspects to highlight, sort of, you know, the things that you maybe don't see every day.
Obviously, it is still a very close election, and 21 days until Election Day. As you cover, you know, this race, and I know you cover a lot of other aspects of what's going on with the governors and at the state house as well, what are the things that coming down the stretch that you're going to be looking at in terms of the important either issues or the important aspects of these campaigns coming down the stretch in determining who ultimately wins?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any more debates, so it's unfortunately kind of down to ads and news coverage, and I think we know, you know, which one of those things voters are seeing more of right now.
Exactly.
So it's seeing, you know, which ads resonate, which issues resonate. You know, does anything happen on the issues that we know people care about, like, you know, abortion, crime, inflation, public schools? Does anything happen that the campaigns can't control, that they have to answer to or respond to, or that they can, you know, message on to their advantage? At this point, it's sort of just the unpredictable for the last few weeks. Is there something that we, you know, just can't anticipate, or does it continue to follow the lines that it's been following, where it does seem like crime and inflation are driving the narrative right now? You know, something that we're not going to know until it's all over. And I think, I quoted someone, a Democratic strategist, saying as much in my story was, how much does abortion factor into this? How much does it actually motivate Democratic voters? We know it's the most important issue to a lot of them, but, you know, does it get people to the polls?
Jesse, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Jesse Apoyan from the Capital Times, captimes.com. Again, a very interesting story that she put together on Senator Ron Johnson, the U.S. Senate race, and basically really a very interesting read. Check it out, captimes.com. Got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and then wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 FM, 1230 AM. Again, you can tune in online as well, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Friday night, it's the start of the high school football playoffs, and the Wausau West Warriors play host to Wisconsin Rapids in a Division I Level 1 playoff. Hear the game live on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa, with the pregame at 6:40 and kickoff at 7 p.m. Hear all the exciting action live on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at BowFallsRadio.com, and mobile devices by searching WXCO, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West High School football on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Sun Printing, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, Bob Look for State Senate, and the Wausau West Athletic Department. It's Wausau West taking on Wisconsin Rapids in a Division I Level 1 playoff. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:40, opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Live on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, interesting to hear that the discussions on the candidates for the United States Senate. Had a chance to talk to the man himself, Mandela Barnes, and then to hear from Jesse Apoyan from the Cap Times about Ron Johnson. It really is a pretty stark choice, isn't it? It's not one of those cases, well, we can go with one guy or go with the other, because they really are completely different. I don't think either one particularly cares for each other at this point either. But Ron Johnson is such a strange man in a lot of ways. I find it interesting that people would still consider him somebody they would want representing them in Washington. Lack of a record, lack of a true vision. So many odd things come out of his mouth, and even just within the last couple of weeks. Again, after everything we've gone through with the January 6th commission, with everything else that's been reported on it, for Johnson to say again that he does not consider it an armed insurrection, the violence that occurred on that date, and yet he continues to defend those people, defend Donald Trump on everything that occurred then and has continued to occur ever since then. It's not as though he's a terrific legislator. He has not passed very much during the course of his 12 years in office, even when in the majority. There was an interesting stat recently put out that Ron Johnson passed fewer bills than Tammy Baldwin did when the Republicans were in charge. It's not easy to have stuff passed when you're in the minority, but Tammy Baldwin found ways to pass more pieces of legislation than Ron Johnson did when the Republicans were in control of the United States Senate. It's just very odd. Mandela Barnes, I give him credit. If you watch TV, you still see a lot of those positive Mandela Barnes ads. Sometimes I worry about the onslaught of negative advertisements that have occurred with Ron Johnson and his allies. And it has, I think, caused at this point to give Ron Johnson a slight edge in the polls. Still 20 days between now and Election Day, but there is some work to be done for the Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes before the polls do open and close at 8 o'clock on the 8th day of November. Governor's race continues. Tim Michaels was in Milwaukee speaking in front of a group there. Interesting again, Tim Michaels did not want any questions from media people. He just wanted pre-selected questions. The man does not like being thrown curveballs. Got himself into some trouble. He said he was not going to prosecute doctors who performed abortions, and then his campaign afterwards walked it back. Walked it back quickly. Does not want the far right of the party getting any doubts about Tim Michaels before the election. So, again, Tim Michaels not having a great time of it when it comes to answering questions that he is not prepared for. And it's going to be interesting to see how Michaels handles things coming down the stretch as well in the final weeks of this campaign. Tony Evers is not the most dynamic man out there, but I do believe that the people of Wisconsin have a very good idea about who Tony Evers is, what Tony Evers wants to do, and the kind of governor Tony Evers would be in the next 4 years. Tim Michaels, completely different. Again, I just think that Tim Michaels has a little bit more of an uphill climb than his Republican counterpart, Ron Johnson, does, at least at this point of the campaign season. Don't forget, coming up from 4 till 6, you get plenty more talk about Michaels and about Ron Johnson, about Mandela Barnes, about Tony Evers with the Devil's Advocates. Again, the Devil's Advocates coming up from 4 till 6, and then I will be back from 6 until 8 p.m., every Wednesday from 6 till 8, big high school sports show right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Paul Novinsky and I, myself, will talk about high school football, week one of the high school football playoffs getting underway on Friday. We also have a couple of special guests at 6:40. We'll be joined by the head football coach of Wausau West High School, Matt Johnson, first-year head coach, 8-1 on the season, taking his team into the postseason against Wisconsin Rapids at Tom Field on Friday night. And then at 7:06, it will be our student-athlete guest for this week from Wittenberg-Bernawood High School. We'll be talking to David Gauderman, outstanding running back for the Chargers, who are also heading into the postseason playoffs. So again, from 6 till 8 p.m., big high school sports show. Myself, Paul Novinsky, former Mosinee head football coach, right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30. Tomorrow on the program from 2 to 4, we will be joined at 2:15 by Nick Ockwig from the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau Sports Authority, the Badger State Games, both summer and winter. We'll talk about upcoming activities around Central Wisconsin heading towards the weekend. That's Nick Ockwig coming up at 2:15 tomorrow right here on Bow Falls Radio and the Chad Holmes Show. And on Friday, we have a couple of guests at 2:15. We'll be joined by the principal of Wausau West High School, Jeb Steckbauer, talk about what's going on at Wausau West. And then at 3:30, we'll be joined by the president of the Wausau School Board, Jim Boucher. So Jim Boucher, the president of the Wausau School Board, he'll be joining us at 3:30 on Friday. So got some great guests coming up the last couple of days of the week here on the Chad Holmes Show. Well, that's going to wrap things up. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Again, please join me and Paul Novinsky again starting at 6. Coming up, CBS News at the top of the hour, and then it is the Devil's Advocates. That's coming up here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.